Emptiness or sunyata in Pali is a term frequently used by Mahayana tradition versus the term non-self or anatta nature or empty nature or existence in anatta in Pali, which is the equivalent term that is frequently used in the Theravada tradition. So this is to make sure the two traditions understand each other. Because a lot of Mahayana tradition or Mahayana practitioner, they like this word, emptiness. But they seldom use the word sunyata because they link it to Mandarin. Kong, everything also kong. So to them, they believe this understanding of emptiness or kong is very deep and very profound, more superior than the Theravada's understanding of anatta, which they mainly translate as non-self. But for those who really understand the Theravada teaching, when they penetrate the universal characteristics of anatta, they will understand non-self is just a small aspect of anatta. In fact, anatta, the meaning is very deep, very deep. It is actually, it encompasses sunyata, which is finally empty. Empty doesn't mean nothing exists. Empty in the sense that is towards the end, there is no reality. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. They come and they go. You cannot hold, you cannot cling, you cannot like want to possess it or own it. You can't. Because it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. And that is the deep meaning. So when you understand that, that is anatta. It is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why your form and mind cannot be self, the Buddha said. If this is self, it will not tend towards suffering. If this is self, it will listen to you. But it doesn't. It goes the way of nature. When it gets sick, it don't have to ask permission from you. That's why it is non-self. Not no self, non-self. Yeah. No self means completely nothing. Yeah. But non-self means it's not a self, not a permanent and changing entity, but there is such thing as a form of mind. And yet this is subject to karma. Even though it's impermanent, if you attach, cling, it brings about suffering when you cannot get what you want. And because it's not a permanent and changing entity, it is not self. It is non-self. That's why it's not you. You cannot like cling on to it, hold on to it and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No. It cannot. But the form and mind is impermanent, dependent, originating, conditional, in a state of flux, continuously evolving, moving. Then finally, when the condition that supports its existence separate, it ceases to be. And you call it death. Death means what? Who died? What died? Nothing died. It's the consciousness that's separate from the form. Then the condition that animate the human being, no more, finished. That is what anatta is all about. Non-self, impermanent, empty nature. And that deep meaning is sunyata. Basically, sunyata, emptiness, is empty nature of existence. All of existence, no reality. But towards the end, it's only memory. Like that song, Wang Si Zi Nen Hui Yi. Means whatever that you can recall that happened in life, you cannot deny it happened in life. But is it real? Like I asked the question, since birth until now, we can never deny we have lived through that phase. But you can only recall through memory what happened. And memory, how real can memory be? In the world of Krishnamurti, what is memory? Memory is of the past, like the dead leaf, dry leaf, already dead and gone. So you can only recall through mind, memory, Hui Wei. Memory. So how real can memory be? That's why it's empty, no reality. So Mahayana got a very good saying. When you understand all this, then this saying become meaningful. He said, when we come to this world, when we are born into this world, each and every one of us become empty-handed. Lai ye kong. Then when you leave this world, can you take along anything? You also leave the world empty. Qi ye kong. Then he asks you that question. Na mo si zu a, he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei. For those who don't know Mandarin, I explain a bit. He said, if you come empty, you go empty, then why do you grieve in between over emptiness? Worry about this, worry about that, cling on to this, cling on to that, becoming so emotional, so full of sorrow and lamentation because of your delusion. Because the coming is empty. The going is also empty. Then in between, why do you grieve over emptiness? No meaning in that. That's why I use the word do also like that, don't do also like that. No different. Where everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, following nature's law. Like my teacher Ajayantra said, only mighty nature rolling by, only nature's law coming and going. He know you, he know me. That's why there is no reality. All the story that you can maybe recall through memory are just story of people. Sorry. I have to mute my phone. Sorry. Somebody tried to call. Okay. Now we come back to where we were. Or maybe I just pick up the call. It could be something urgent. Yeah.
Hello? I'm here.
Okay. Sorry about the phone call. I just answered it. Because during this MCO period, my tenant, one of the tenants who rented my condo unit. He is very nice. A Malay gentleman, but very nice guy. Amiru. He called me and he apologized to me for paying the renter late. I said, you don't worry, under these circumstances, it's understandable. I said, the wife has already informed me. So he still say he has already got some money, but he is without job for the last 1 month plus. So he tried his best to pay me. So he will pay me in a few days time. Okay, we continue. Just now I finished emptiness, sunyata and anatta. Now we will go to point number two. Importance of understanding why our physical form and all external form can also be expressed as form is impermanent, brings about suffering when we deludedly cling on to it without understanding. And its empty and anatta nature. If you can see this, you have wisdom. You are already wise. But if you cannot see this, then you need to develop more understanding. Cultivate, silence your mind until you awaken and understand all this. So I go through it again. It is very important to understand why our physical form and all external form can also be expressed as form is impermanent, brings about suffering when you deludedly cling onto it without understanding its self-delusion, sakyadity. And also see its empty nature or anatta nature, which I already explained earlier on. That to understand it clearly, we must have the ability to see its manifestation via mind's perception. How do you bring the external form into mind? Through your aggregate of perception, When you perceive something, the external form enters the mind. That's how the mental form arises. And when the mental form arises, together with the four aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, sankhara, and vijnana, they form the five mental aggregates. That is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. Yeah. So this part is very important. Eh? Form enters the mind through the sanya or perception aggregate. Yeah. So from this mind's perception, you will know clearly how you create the concept and the word to label the external form. So I will read over that sentence again so that you can have clear understanding. To understand it clearly, we must have the ability, means the mindfulness, to see its manifestation via mind's perception with clear mindfulness to recognize it as condition arising phenomena. Yeah. Hence, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that we can cling on to or hold on to as the I and the me, or own as the mind. Thus seeing it as empty, sunyata, or anatta, because it has no apparent reality. Also, a cultivator needs to develop the wisdom to understand why form is external manifestation of mind. We are a clear and stable daily mindfulness cultivation. So if your mindfulness is very clear, then you will see form is external manifestation of mind. Do you remember? I always ask you this question, the block card analogy. Externally, the block card, when the parts come together, it performs a function, you give it a concept and a name, then the block card arises already, condition arising, like real to you. The second question is, how do you know it's a block card? You have to perceive it through your mind, isn't it? Through your seeing consciousness, through memory. So this perception is mind. That's why form is external manifestation of mind. That form outside, where you label it, where you create the perception of it, it arises. That's why this mind arises through external form. So mind is actually external, form is actually external manifestation of mind. That's how you see it. But you have to see it in a meditation. You have to have a silent mind to be aware of that perception, that moment of perception. Otherwise you cannot see. To you is knowledge. Because Brother Theo says so. Then you think it's logical. Oh yeah, how I know? I must have through memory, perceive it. But if you cannot see it, the understanding is not deep, not clear. But when you see it with a silent mind, when you can be at the moment of perception, at the moment of feeling and consciousness and activity of mind, sankhara movement, then that whole understanding becomes different. That's why mindfulness is very important. Sati, awareness is very important. If it has stabilized, it can be from moment to moment. It can just stay there, aware, finish. No movement at all, no word, nothing. Then when the word comes out, you also aware. Then you know. That's how mind manifests. That's how the aggregate of sanya manifests. That's how perception label it and bring on the form into your mind. And when you give meaning, you are deceived by it, you become deluded. Because you attach, you cling. To you, it's real. You give meaning. You want to own it. You want to possess it. You want to control it. You want to have something to do with it. Because you think you own them. Or you think they belong to you. Your loved one and all those things. Or somebody you don't like, you think that fellow is your enemy. So negative mind state will arise. So all this is through perception. Then when that thing you perceive, you don't have the understanding, you cling. When you cling, you stir your mind to like and dislike, your preference. The one that you like, you attach, you cling, you want to own it, you want to possess it. The one that you don't like, you try to push it away. That's why sensual desire and ill-will, the first two mental hindrances of mind, keep on arising with every moment of sense experience. That is the reason why that understanding of form is external manifestation of mind is very important. To see it in the meditation, to understand it very clearly. Then if you see it through the consciousness via your perception, then I ask you the second question. Is it real? Is the bullock cart real? It is only an image in your brain, isn't it? If you know science, it's inverted image. So how real can be that image? That's why mind make our day. They are not real. Externally already condition arising, causal phenomena. But how do you know it? Through your perception, which is just an image. It's even more unreal. Not even solid, not even tangible. So see that it is unreal. The unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. It's only the brain through its consciousness and image and memory and perception aggregate cling and hold and give meaning. There is no reality. Everything is just empty. He know you, he know me. Everything is just dependent originating, condition arising. Not what you think. See that clearly so that you are not deluded, not deceived. So that form fail to have power over you. And when you have that wisdom and the understanding, the whole creation means the whole of this manifestation of form in the form of consciousness, they will collapse in front of you. Because form loses its power. So the external form that you perceive through consciousness, all your senses, where you see the unreality, the empty nature, it loses its power. It like collapses in front of you. And when it collapses, you develop the wisdom to see beyond form. That form has no more power over you. Then you can understand form is just form, no more meaning. But when you live life, it's different. When you live life, it exists for you to use. So make use of it. Do not be deluded by it. Do not be deceived by it. Like the mundane mind. Use it to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action. So this is what Dhamma is all about. With right view, it conditions your right understanding that enable you to understand life and live life. Then you know how to use your form and mind. The form and mind is like a vehicle and tool for you. It comes through karmically conditioned for you to come to this existential world. Then use it. Don't attach and cling and be deluded by it or deceived by it. So when you use it, it's like a tool. It serves you. Use it correctly, appropriately, like a knife. Don't use it to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable and hit out at others. That is the wrong way of using the tool. So your thought is the same, your physical body is the same. Like the Buddha said, right thought will lead to right view will lead to right thought, right speech, right action. That's why thought depends on the user. If the user of thought has wisdom, then thought becomes useful, beautiful. That thought is wholesome because the user behind has wisdom. That's why without wisdom, thought will become wrong thought. That's how suffering comes to be. Negativity of karma comes about. So this understanding is very important. the user of the physical body and the thought is very important. So user means that form and mind must have wisdom. Then you will know how to act. You will know how to arise at appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, and right for right effort, and also the right way of living life means right living. That's how the cultivation should proceed. So user of thought and the physical body must have wisdom. That's why we must train our mind to be heedful, to be aware, to understand all this, then to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the universal characteristic. Then that wisdom will protect the form and mind. From then on, the form and mind that has the understanding will not be deceived or deluded anymore. So just now I completed the form. Once you understand form is unreal, means you can see form. Then you can see the unreality of form, the empty nature of form. Then you can see beyond form. Unless you can see the unreality and the empty nature, you cannot see beyond form. You cannot have the wisdom. You cannot insight into it, and you cannot awaken. That's why the three universal characteristics is very powerful. Then after that, your mindfulness has to go in and become more and more stable, subtle, to see mind. Your mind is more difficult to see, like last Thursday, we went through. Mind is non-tangible, not solid. Mind is movement of sankhara and consciousness. More difficult to see. Unless you have mindfulness, you can't see. And they move so fast. Unless your mindfulness is very stable, sati is very stable, you cannot cope with mind, you cannot cope with life. So the daily mindfulness is not easy unless you have a very stable daily mindfulness. That's why you have to be ever mindful, the Buddha said. Then constantly meditative when you are under training. Then you apply the same understanding to develop the understanding of mind. Then you learn to see mind. Then the unreality of mind, the empty nature of mind. Then only you have the power to see beyond mind. The analogy that I give you is a human being. If you look at the form, you will be deceived, deluded. Your form divide and create a lot of confusion, argument, division. Once you look at the physical form, you identify this physical form, what happened? All the division born of all these words will come out and deceive you and complicate humanity, lead to argument. Like the word gender, male and female, they argue. Then the color of your skin, complexion, lead to race. So all these are form identification. Then you have young, middle age, old. All this will lead to discrimination. Then when you have the ability to look at that person, not at the form level, means you don't attach to what he wear and what his external appearances is, means you can see beyond form. When you see beyond form, what do you see? If you are a cultivator who has the mindfulness and the understanding, you will know he also have a mind. He also have that mundane mind, the consciousness inside. Then you realize we are no longer so different. But externally, it doesn't divide anymore. Means I don't have any problem with gender, with age, with race, with color, and all those things. In how you dress and all those things. Whether you are more affluent or noble or what. Not important anymore. Well, I see beyond your physical appearances. Then I look at your mind. I look at what you are good at, your skill, your capability, your understanding. But that mind may not have the division of form. It also can create division. Why? Well, each and every one of us has a mundane mind that is full of views, opinion, and conditioning. Our culture conditions us. Our tradition conditions us. Our belief system conditions us. Our education system conditions us. Our environment, our society, they all condition us. So we are different because everyone is different. Even our parents, our guardian, people who raise us, condition us. Our friend, the social media, the newspaper in the past, the education that you go through, they all condition you. That's why everyone is different. Then we mold our views, opinion, and conditioning. Then with the bundle of memory, we act. And we think that is what we are. No, that is not you. That is your mundane mind. With its conditioning, views, opinion, memory, and all this thing. So when you are mindful, aware, you can see all this, then you realize we are still different. That's why the religious label, the belief system, still separate us. That's why humanity and mankind still argue. There is still war. You call yourself Asian, they call themselves American, European, African, Middle East. Then religion again come in, create all the division, confusion. That's why our world has so much problem. Then you blame each other, point finger. So how do we overcome all this? You have to educate the new generation of people. To see beyond form, then see beyond mind. When you see beyond form and beyond mind, then all your views, opinion, conditioning, beliefs is all gone in there. Then who are you? What are you? We are no longer so different. You have a nature, I have a nature. And this is a oneness nature. We are all together. All of humanity is one. We all have the inner Buddha nature, the true nature. It is from there that all things arise. With that, there is no more division, no more problem. Then everything is just the way it is. They are just the way they are. We are through ignorant delusion. The mundane mind behave that way. They separate themselves and divide and created the religious labor belief system and say that they are what religion, what religion, what race, from which continent. So all this you have to see them with your mindfulness so that you are aware of how conflict arises. How argument arise, how attachment come to be, how the world become what it is. So when you understand clearly within all this movement and understanding, then you develop the wisdom. That's why self-knowledge is very important. When you understand yourself, you understand others, that they also have a mind. Then you can see through your mindfulness, sensitivity, and awareness, how living beings that are still deluded without the wisdom, how they behave, how they react, and how they stir their mind and create all the unnecessary suffering and misery and problem for the world. If you have the understanding, there is no such thing as a problem. Problem only arise when you perceive a life situation with negativity without understanding. But when we understand, thing is just the way it is, not what you define. Problem according to you, because you perceive it in negativity, then you say it's a problem. But when you are in charge, you are in control with the authority, then you say no, no problem. Because it's nothing to do with you. So this is the selfish way of humanity. The activity of the mundane mind that is still deluded without wisdom. So Dhamma is to cultivate the mind, train the mind, develop the ability to be silent, mindful, aware, to observe, to see and understand all this and awaken. This is the real cultivation. Not all the book knowledge. Not all the meditative experience, chase after this, chase after that. Then look for method, look for technique, look for the big name. Then get yourself gullibly attracted. thinking that by chasing after all this, you can awaken. You can also be like that. Please, yeah, don't be gullible anymore. Wake up. Everything is within. If you don't seek within through mindfulness, awareness, you cannot understand. Because it is the form and mind. The final summary is the form and mind. The Buddha said, if you deludedly grasp and cling onto this fine aggregate of form and mind, which he called upadana khandas, it will condition suffering. So develop the understanding of what this fine aggregate is, the two aspects that I shared. Then check, put to test. If I attach to the form, do I suffer? If I attach to the aggregate of mind, vedana sanya sankaramiya, do I suffer? Go through it, investigate into it, awaken it. Then based on what I have shared with you and taught you, you will progress very far. You will awaken very far. But don't attach to my words. Understand it and silence your mind and just do. Follow the instruction. Don't add anything or subtract anything. Just do. Then you will understand. You will awaken. Don't be too eager to know. Don't try to know. Silence everything and let that awareness nature find out. Let it awaken. So that is what daily mindfulness is all about. So that's why I put up there. Also, a cultivator need to develop wisdom to understand why form is external manifestation of mind. We are a clear and very stable daily mindfulness cultivation. Then form delusion can be very powerful. Hence, if you can't see form, you can't see mind. Because form is much grosser, whereas mind is very subtle, where it's non-tangible. It's just an aggregate consciousness, image. However, with wisdom, born of the direct seeing, form and mind delusion will cease to be. That's why you must develop the wisdom born of the direct seeing. Let the silent mind awaken, then you will understand. Then you will develop the wisdom. Hence, with wisdom born of the direct seeing, form and mind delusion will cease to be, leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. So direct seeing is very important. You can only have the direct seeing if your mind is silent.